Hello, hello, y'all. Oh, today's podcast is not an interview. I'm not featuring anybody. It is just me. Just my voice and just me talking about a topic. So I hope that's okay. I hope you're all right with me just blabbing on about something for, let's say I aim to keep this well under half an hour. I'm recording this podcast on a Thursday. It is a little bit gloomy outside. For those of you who are in Victoria, you probably know that. For those of you who are not in Victoria, I hope you're somewhere warm and delightful because the weather in Victoria right now sucks. I am over winter. I've just spent the past week being sick. I caught a bug, some type of virus, where I was shitting myself multiple times a day. And by myself, I mean I was in the toilet, not in the toilet, on the toilet. Now I'm better. I've had my first coffee after 7 days today, and I can confirm it did not have a laxative effect, which is fantastic because I am on the mend. I am back. And by I am back, I don't want to jinx it. So, universe, please do not use that as a way to absolutely fuck me again because I don't need it. But anyway. I intended to record this podcast last week because the sessions that I were having with my clients were so sex focused, and it made me go, it is probably a really great idea to record a podcast on having better conversations about sex because I know this is a topic that can be really challenging for some of you, and that some of you are super shy. You might even be uncomfortable talking about sex, and that is okay. There is no judgment here. A lot of us didn't get brought up in an environment where healthy conversations about these topics were encouraged. So I really hope this podcast helps a lot of you. And I'll be the first to say, nobody talked about sex in my household growing up. My grandparents raised me and they told me that I wasn't allowed to have a boyfriend. Yeah, a boyfriend. Lol, how that turned out until I was 30. And all of my sexual experiences when I was in my late teens revolved around me basically using my body as a conduit for men to like me. I didn't realize sex was about female pleasure. I didn't even have conversations about sex. I was just like, we do it right because that's what we're supposed to do, and I'm supposed to be of service to you, and blah, 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 blah. And I'm sure a lot of you get that. I'm sure a lot of you are like, oh, damn, that was exactly how I was. Maybe for some of you, though, you're like, oh, my parents talked about sex. It was great. Good, it's gold. And I also love that for you. But that wasn't how it was for me. And I also noticed that that's not how it wasn't for a lot of my clients. And an observation I've made over the last 12 years is that some individuals can find it easier talking about sex when they're experiencing lust or new relationship energy. However, when they get into the long-term stages of a relationship, they're like, eek. I don't know how to talk about sex anymore because I'm not experiencing desire. And because I don't experience desire, I can't talk about sex and blah. And it can get really confronting because the thing is, when we are in the throes of desire, talking about sex can be really easy. It can be super easy, actually. And even sometimes, sometimes, even sometimes, sometimes, I just wanted to say sometimes 3 times for no reason. Sometimes we feel overconfident talking about sex when we are under the influence of excessive dopamine and serotonin and in lust, and we're just like, oh, let's talk about it and fuck me and all of this stuff, and this is all the things that I want. But then when all of that like dopamine sort of leaves a little bit and the honeymoon phase ends, people get a little bit shy again, and that's okay. Like I said, there's no judgment here. I'm here to help you have healthy, honest, open conversations about sex at all stages of your relationship, but in particular when you've been with somebody long term. Because open and honest communication about sex is vital. It is absolutely pivotal in any healthy relationship. By having these type of conversations, the goal is for us to strengthen our connections with our partner and build deeper intimacy. And this is what I want for you all. And look, I've worked in the space of relationships for over 12 years, and I have observed with my own eyeballs, especially in heterosexual couples, they often have a societal expectation and pressure about what sex should look like in their relationship. And these pressures stem from self-imposed notions of what sex should look like, what it should be like. And they're made worse because of the conversations they're often having with their friends too. Now, I really want to talk about this because societal pressures can be significant and they can be so deeply ingrained that you don't even realize that it's like hooked into your unconscious. You don't realize that this societal pressure is there And I want to bring it up because I think some of you would benefit from being able to go, is this a belief I have? Or is this something that has just been planted in my brain and I've just kept in? Because the thing is, these societal pressures, they can influence your attitude, they can influence your beliefs and your behaviors related to sexuality. So I really think it's important to touch on some societal pressures that are common and ones that we put on ourselves when it comes to sex, such as, and I've written these down as dot points, performance and pleasure. Society often places an emphasis on sexual performance and pleasure, which leads individuals to believe that they should always be great in bed and you should be experiencing intense pleasure every time you engage in a sexual activity. And this pressure can create feelings of inadequacy and anxiety around sexual experiences. And y'all, we don't want those anxieties. I don't want you being anxietous. I'm calling that as a word. I don't want you being anxious around sexual experiences. I want you to be empowered. Another common societal pressure is frequency of sex. Y'all, oh my God. There is a societal expectation that couples should have sex a certain number of times a week or a month to have a healthy relationship. This pressure can lead to feelings of guilt or insecurity if a couple isn't meeting these perceived standards. Now, I know some of y'all are going to have a number in your head that you think is the healthy amount of time a couple should be having sex per week. Some of you are going to go, a few times a week. Some of you are going to go once a week. Some of you are going to go a few times a month. The thing is, there is no set number. That's just a societal lie. I want some of y'all to get it out of your head because I want you to be having great connective sex. I don't want you just to tick a box like, we should be doing it 3 times a week. Better do it tonight. No, 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 no. I do not want that for you. And I will not allow that. Well, obviously, like I, it's not about me allowing it. I just don't want that for you. If you want to do it, like go ahead. If you're like consensually doing it, that's fine, boo, you do you. But I'm just saying, I don't want you to be feeling you have to do tick box sex in order to fulfill a quota. Another common societal pressure comes from heteronormativity. Oh man, society tends to promote heterosexual relationships as a norm, and that can really make individuals in non-heterosexual relationships feel marginalized or invisible. And I say this from experience, y'all. I'm in a same-sex relationship. And this pressure can lead to questioning one's identity and navigating societal norms that may not allow or align with their sexual orientation. Some individuals don't want to have sex, asexual. Any of my asexual listeners, I see you. I hear you. You are valid. Can we please get over the assumption that every single person walking the planet wants to have sex and should be having sex? That's not how it works. We need to be a little bit more kinder and understanding that not everybody is the same. This societal misconception that every single person wants what another person wants, we've got to stop it. Another common societal pressure is virginity and stigma. There is a stigma around virginity and the pressure to lose it at a specific age or in a certain way. Like, virginity is literally a concept that has been made by the patriarchy. Really, when you think about it, this whole giving your virginity or losing your virginity to someone, like you gave it to someone, like, I lost it to them. Like, what? Like, you can clearly see a man made that. Like, I'm sorry, any men listening, but seriously, virginity is a patriarchal fucking myth. Look it up if you want to. I could rant on about it. I'm not going to. But look it. But also, when it comes to the stigma of when and where you should be having sex and how old you should be first. Like, if you haven't had sex by the time you're 18, too late. Or if you haven't had sex by the time you're 21, you're weird. All of these like stigmas and pressures, they just create feelings of shame and embarrassment for individuals who have not had sexual experiences yet. And it's not a vibe. We don't vibe that shit. Another societal norm that we need to get rid of gender roles and expectations. Society imposes specific gender roles and expectations regarding sex. We all know this. For example, men are often expected to be more sexually assertive and experienced, but women, they're pressured to be a lot more passive and a lot more reserved. And these expectations can really limit individual expression and create gender-based insecurities. I want you to ask yourself, when it comes to the relationship you're in, if you're in a heterosexual relationship, in the past, how have you assumed a role when it comes to your sexual wants and needs? Have you become passive because you believe that a man is supposed to be more dominating when it comes to sex? I want you to ask yourself, what gender roles and expectations have I been putting on myself or allowing other people to place on me? It's a really good question that you should be asking yourself when it comes to your sexual experience. Another societal norm that we need to do away of is body image, because societal beauty standards, they can lead to body image issues, and they really make an individual feel self-conscious about their appearance during sexual encounters. And this pressure really can interfere with their ability to fully enjoy intimacy. And all bodies are beautiful, 100%. But society says, that's not so. And we know that because marketing tells us that, social media tells us that. As much as we're really trying to, you know, skew it the other way, we've got a long way to go. Another societal norm is, well, not societal norm, it is a societal pressure is monogamy and fidelity. Now, society places a really strong emphasis on monogamy and fidelity in romantic relationships, which can lead to feelings of guilt and shame for individuals who have different relationship structures or experiences. I work with so many polyamorous individuals and couples and people who are non-monogamous, who are in don't ask, don't tell, who are in open relationships, open marriages, and all of the feelings of shame and guilt that they experience are there because society shuns their relationship structure. And when you feel shunned in your relationship structure, it can be hard to have healthy communication and talking about it with your partner because you're dealing with your own feelings of shame that society has given you. So it's like a double thing that you need to start being able to unpack. And that sucks. But there is also a lot of societal pressure around STIs. And there is often a stigma associated with sexually transmitted infections, leading individuals to fear of judgment or shame if they have or have had an STI. And this pressure can discourage people from seeking testing or treatment, but it can also stop people from disclosing. And disclosure is a must. It should be happening all the time. But the thing is, society has created spaces and created narratives where people don't want to disclose because of the shame and judgment that they fear they are going to receive from another person based on how they are feeling about themselves. But the thing is, these pressures and societal pressures need to be unpacked and they need to be removed. And the only way we unpack and remove them is by talking about them more. So when it comes to STIs and things like that, I really hope you're able to start embracing talking about these things more from a place of empowerment and no shame, because we don't need to have shame there. But lastly, pornography and unrealistic expectations. The prevalence of porn in society can lead to really unrealistic expectations about sexual experiences and performance. And I think we all know that. I don't think I had ever watched a porn early in my like late teens where a woman wasn't screaming her head off or orgasming within 2.5 seconds and just behaving in such a way that I think of now is laughable. But it creates this area and arena where people think that sex is something that happens to them, especially women when it comes to porn. They sort of just are sex dolls. And obviously there is ethical porn now, which is fantastic, and it's changing and things are changing in that industry. Still got a long way to go. But pornography has really set up some unrealistic expectations, especially for men, but also for women feeling like they need to be something. And men, I assume that men also feel that they have expectations that they need to lead up to. But one thing we can say is that in some cases, porn has created pressure that makes us question what is normal. And I say normal with inverted quotes because we need to be able to see what real sex looks like. I have a question for you though. What kind of expectations do you have when it comes to sex? Really? Like, have you ever asked yourself that question? What kind of expectations do you have when it comes to sex? I would recommend you taking some time after you've listened to this podcast to reflect on that question. Write down your answers and start unpacking it if those expectations are helping you or hindering you. So maybe you might write down your expectations, and then after you've written them down, you might ask yourself, does this one help me or does this one hinder me? It's just a really good way for you to start unpacking the expectations and the things that you have or are holding on to regarding sex. And look, before we dive deeper into talking about sex, I want to take a moment to shift our focus from sex to intimacy, okay? Because intimacy is something that we also experience differently. So, what does intimacy look like for you? Is it emotional? Is it physical? Or is it both? Is it neither? Remember, you get to define intimacy according to what it feels like and what feels right for you. It is not uncommon for couples to not fully know what they like when it comes to intimacy, and it's usually because neither person or persons in the relationship has thought about it and then talked about it. And this can make it challenging to convey what they want in and outside the bedroom. And look, I say outside the bedroom because it's really important that you all know that sex and intimacy can take place anywhere, not just the bedroom. So I have another question for you. What does intimacy mean to you? And what do you like about sex and self-pleasure? Again, write this stuff down so you can learn more about yourself and then ways to express those things to somebody else. Because understanding your feelings and desires in these areas is going to have a profound impact on how you positively talk about sex in your relationship as an experience together. And a friendly reminder, never compare your sex life to someone else's. Like, don't ever do it. This isn't a competition of numbers. What truly matters is the quality of the experience you have. Let's remove the comparison and really focus on what brings you and your partner or partners or yourself pleasure and connection. And I know you're now asking, okay, Megan, got it. But how do I have confident conversations about sex? How do I confidently talk about it? Don't worry, I got you. I got you. I've got five tips that I hope are truly going to help, starting with number one, normalize the conversation. The first step in normalizing the conversation about sex is to recognize that discussing our sexual needs and desires is completely natural and healthy in any intimate relationship. It's really essential to challenge any preconceived notions or societal taboos that might have made us feel uncomfortable about discussing sex in the past. Embracing a sex positive attitude really allows us to approach the topic with confidence and without judgment. Now, when initiating this important conversation with our partner or partners, it is crucial to create a safe and non-threatening space for open dialogue. So you've got to let your partner know that you genuinely value their thoughts and feelings about sex and that you want to explore this aspect of your relationship together. Being receptive to their input and ensuring they feel heard and respected is so vital in fostering a healthy conversation. Now, if the thought of having this conversation feels overwhelming, and I know some of you are probably like, well, fuck, I can't have this conversation. It's okay. You can seek support from a professional because it can be really beneficial. I help couples navigate these conversations all the time. And like, obviously you don't need to work with me. You can work with whoever you prefer. But having it with somebody else, like a third party, can really make it a lot easier. When broaching the topic, embrace curiosity and a willingness to learn more about your partner's desires, preferences, and boundaries. You've got to use open-ended questions that start with what and how, because they encourage your partner to express themselves more freely. Please, for the love of all things, avoid using why questions, as they really come across as accusatory or defensive. Instead, I want you to approach the conversation with genuine curiosity and a desire to deepen your emotional and physical connection. Please, I want you to remember, open and honest communication about sex is an ongoing process. It's essential to continue having these conversations as your relationship evolves, okay? So you need to normalize the topic of sex within your relationship or relationships, because then it will lead to increased intimacy, trust, and satisfaction. And that is going to create a more fulfilling and connecting partnership or partnerships. And I want that for you. Tip number two, be clear about what you want. Being clear about your sexual boundaries and desires is so crucial for fostering a healthy and fulfilling intimate connection with your partner. It's important to communicate openly and honestly about what you feel comfortable engaging in and what you would prefer to avoid. By setting clear boundaries, you establish a foundation of trust and respect within the relationship. Now, do not hesitate to express the things you are not comfortable doing sexually and any activities you would like to explore. Remember, though, every individual has the right to experience sex in a way that aligns with their personal values and their comfort levels. So embrace your unique preferences without judgment or self-criticism, and recognize that your desires are valid and they deserve acknowledgement. If during these discussions you find that your partner is pressuring you to engage in sexual activities that make you uncomfortable or judged for asserting your boundaries, it might be necessary to reevaluate the relationship dynamics. Healthy relationships are built on mutual respect and consideration for each other's needs and boundaries. And if your partner disregards or dismisses your boundaries, time to seek professional help or maybe even reconsider the relationship. In working with a professional, you and your partner can explore and address underlying issues that may be affecting the communication around sex. A skilled professional, you might want to go to a sex therapist, can facilitate a safe and non-judgmental space for both of you to express your feelings, needs, and concerns really openly. Remember, and I really cannot stress this enough, you should never, ever feel coerced or pressured into any sexual activity. I'll say that again. You should never, ever feel coerced or pressured into any sexual activity. Consent is paramount in any healthy sexual relationship, and it's essential to respect your own boundaries and those of your partner. Embrace the idea that a fulfilling sexual relationship is built on trust, consent always, and genuine mutual desire, which then allows you to experience intimacy in a way that is both safe and satisfying. Also, a final reminder here, you can say no and stop at any time. Just really want to preface that. Tip number 3, listen actively, like actively listen. In addition to openly expressing your thoughts and feelings, actively listen to your partner's verbal and nonverbal cues. This plays a crucial role in creating a deeper emotional connection. When engaging in conversations about sex, it's essential to show genuine interest of what your partner has to say. I've got to take a break to have some water. Sorry, y'all. Just talking nonstop. It's making me parched. But look, listening attentively really demonstrates that you value your partner's perspective and that you're committed to understanding their needs and desires. This matters. And active listening involves not just hearing words spoken, but it also is about paying attention to their body language and emotional expressions. When I talk about nonverbal cues, I'm talking about things such as facial expressions, their gestures, their tone of voice. It all matters. And it all provides really, really valuable insights into your partner's feelings and their comfort level. So when you are attuned to these cues, you can better understand their emotions and then respond with empathy and sensitivity. Time for me to have another drink. Oh, y'all, I just got like a side note. I just bought like a 2-liter bottle of water because I'm like a camel. I barely drink. And I've only had just under a liter. And it's only 4 o'clock. God, I have so much more water to drink. Anyway. Here is a really powerful way that you can show your partner that you've been actively listening, and it's by repeating back what they've shared. This technique is known as reflective listening, and it's one I help my clients really master all the time because it demonstrates that you have understood their words and allows them to clarify any misinterpretations. When you paraphrase their thoughts and feelings, you show that you genuinely care about what's being said, and that perspective matters to you. And look, reflective listening not only validates your partner's feelings, but also fosters a deeper sense of trust and emotional intimacy. It creates a safe and non-judgmental space for both of you to express yourselves openly and honestly. And when your partner feels heard and understood, they are so much more likely to reciprocate and be receptive to your thoughts and feelings as well. And also remember, open communication, two-way street. As you actively listen to your partner, encourage them to do the same for you. This reciprocal approach to communication allows both of you to feel seen and heard, and it strengthens the emotional bond between the both of you. Active listening is a fundamental aspect of successful and meaningful conversations about sex. It demonstrates your attentiveness, your empathy, and your commitment to understanding your partner's needs and desires. By actively engaging in reflective listening, you then create an environment of trust and emotional safety, and that allows you both to explore your sexual desires and boundaries with openness and vulnerability. And vulnerability and being able to talk about sex, chef's kiss, hand in hand. Dying over here. Okay, on to tip 4. Use I statements. When engaging in discussions about sex, it is so crucial to steer away from being accusatory or judgmental. because that leads to defensiveness and it leads to discomfort. And I've seen it so many times in my sessions with couples. Instead, what I teach them is to opt for using I statements, because that allows them to express their thoughts and their feelings from a more personal and non-threatening perspective. Because I statements empower you to take ownership of your emotions and experiences, and they make it easier for your partner to empathize and connect with your feelings. For instance, you might say, I feel uncomfortable when we rush into intimacy without enough emotional connection. Or I would like it if we would try to explore new ways to enhance our sexual intimacy together. By using I statements, you shift the focus away from blaming or criticizing your partner. And instead, you create a space for open and constructive dialogue. And look, the power of I statements lies in their ability to foster understanding and empathy between partners. Because when you express your feelings using I statements, it allows your partner to see the situation from your perspective without feeling attacked or defensive. This approach encourages them to listen. It encourages them to respond in a supportive manner, and that contributes to a more productive and respectful conversation. Also, I statements encourage personal responsibility and accountability in the relationship. When both partners communicate using I statements, it promotes a collaborative approach to problem solving and decision making. And I will always say it, and I say it again and again and again, a relationship is about two people coming together to face the problem as a team. And this I statement usage fosters a sense of equality and mutual respect, which lays the foundation for a healthier and more harmonious relationship. And using I statements is not only beneficial during discussions about sex, but it can be applied to other aspects of your relationship too, y'all. I want you to be able to hear this and go, oh, I can implement this into other areas of my relationship, but also other areas of your life. Try it with your friends. Try it with your family. Whether it's about household responsibilities, emotional needs, or future goals, I statements empower you to express yourself authentically and assertively while maintaining the connection with your partner. And remember, open communication is a journey of understanding and growth for both partners. So by using I statements, you create the environment of emotional safety and vulnerability, and you allow both of you to share your desires, concerns, and boundaries with honesty and compassion. Alrighty, my final tip. Embrace vulnerability. Oh, yes. Embracing vulnerability is transformative, y'all. And it is an essential aspect of conversations about sex within a relationship, because it is through vulnerability that genuine trust is built and a profound sense of intimacy will flourish once you've established vulnerability. Okay? When you allow yourself to open up and share your deepest desires, your fears, your insecurities with your partner, you're going to create a safe and accepting space for both of you to explore and understand each other in a more profound level. Yes, isn't that what you want? It's what I want for you. And when you embrace vulnerability, you break down the walls that might hinder you from that fully expressed desire that you want to experience with your partner. And look, recognize that it is okay to be imperfect and it is okay to share your vulnerabilities. But know that when you are sharing them, your partner will be listening without judgment, without rejection. Because this authenticity fosters, far out, Megan. How am I even talking today? I sound like a potato. Sorry, y'all. But I'm trying to say that this authenticity fosters a deeper emotional connection that goes beyond the physical aspects of a relationship. And as we reveal our vulnerabilities, we invite our partner to do the same, which creates this beautiful and symbolic exchange of trust and understanding. I'm using my hands a lot as I'm talking. And when we share our most intimate thoughts and feelings, it allows us to see each other's raw and authentic selves, which leads to an increased sense of emotional closeness and empathy. And this newfound connection extends to the bedroom, enhancing the quality and fulfillment of our sexual experience. Yes, yes, yes. However, I get it. Embracing vulnerability is not always easy, and it can require a lot of courage and self-awareness. However, it's through vulnerability that we invite growth and deeper connection into our relationships. So by taking this courageous step, you are going to affirm your commitment to each other and then your desire to create this awesome sex life for you as a couple, but also for you as an individual. So important for you to remember that vulnerability is a reciprocal process, okay? Like, I don't want you feeling like you're the only person who's being vulnerable. I don't want your partner being the only one who's vulnerable. As you open up, you want to encourage your partner to do the same. And this mutual vulnerability builds a strong foundation of trust and emotional safety. And it enables us to navigate challenges and insecurities together. I want both of you to be vulnerable. Vulnerable. Because when we embrace that, we create this space for healing and for growth. And when we share our past experiences, our insecurities, traumas, we give our partner the opportunity to support and understand us on a profound level. And this deep emotional connection not only enriches our sexual experiences, but it also strengthens our overall relationships because it fosters a bond built on trust, love, and acceptance. You got it? Those are my tips for having more confident conversations about sex. And remember, it is so normal and healthy to talk about sex openly and honestly. I want you to be so empowered to talk about sex. I want you to feel proud talking about sex. I don't want you to feel shame. I don't want you to feel embarrassed. I want you to be able to listen to this podcast and go, you know what? You know what, Megs? I'm going to give it a try. I'm going to try to talk about sex tonight. Or maybe you might not want to do tonight, but I'm going to listen to this podcast a few times and then I'm going to do it. Because when you start empowering yourself to talk about sex, you can build a stronger relationship, not only with yourself, but with your partner, but also with other people that you are being intimate with. And that enhances your overall sexual experience. And I want you to be having fantastic sexual experiences if you choose to be having them. Okay? Thank you for joining me on this episode. And until next time, take care and keep exploring your desires and keep having awesome conversations, empowered conversations about sex. Alrighty, my lovers. Bye.